The first reading is Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 44, and it's on page 1105. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading can be found on page 1083 of the Pew Bibles. It is from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." This is the gospel of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
And as we invite Ian up to speak to us, we just say a prayer for him. Thank you, Lord, for the word you've put on Ian this week. And open our minds, bodies and souls to the words that we receive today. And let us put them into action. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Tim, for leading our service. And thank you, Yvonne and Vaughan, for those readings. Those two readings are about how to be a Christian. The reading from Acts is about becoming a Christian, and the reading from John's Gospel is about living the Christian life, a life of love. Two aspects about being a Christian. Acts 10 was the Apostle Peter sticking his neck out a bit, I think, speaking to the first non-Jewish family about Jesus. And he could have got into really big trouble, so I guess he was a bit nervous. So Peter rambles on a bit, as some of us do. And I think the Holy Spirit of God got a bit impatient and was eager to cut the cackle and get on with it. So Luke says the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And the Jews, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, non-Jews. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Wow! They were surprised. Speaking in tongues. Well, that was what God had done for them at Pentecost in Jerusalem. And clearly God was now at work in these Gentiles, these non-Jews. And for them, that was evidence of a change of heart in these people, a new birth from above, what the posh experts call regeneration, a heart change from the inside out. And so Peter calls for them to be baptized because they've clearly received the Holy Spirit. I've actually just gone and done that in Wakes Cone now, because a 52-year-old lady has had a similar experience of God. And she just knew that baptism was what she needed to do. And later in November, she's going to be confirmed by the bishop in Chelmsford Cathedral. What a joy that is. This afternoon, there's a baptism of a little lad in Chapel Church. This morning, actually, in Alden, there was a lady who brought her new baby for baptism. So it is happening all over, which is great, isn't it? An encouragement to all of us. Actually, I want to say thank you to Tim, because he mentioned being pastoral assistant actually in his place of work 5 days in the week. And what an encouragement that is. We all need to play our part wherever we are to witness to Christ. And you have no idea what effect that will have on some people or other. So that was what Peter called for when he saw these Gentiles had that change of heart, that they had turned towards God and God had worked in their lives. Just moving on to our second reading from John's Gospel, this is Jesus' instruction to his disciples to love. Earlier, Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? And that was a question based on the Old Testament. It was from a Jewish expert in the law, the Old Testament commandments. And Jesus gave him an answer from the law, the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. But then Jesus added in a second, lesser known command from Deuteronomy. Love your neighbor as yourself. And those two commands are Jesus' famous summary of the commandments. But it's based on the Old Testament, isn't it? Here in our reading at the end of John's Gospel, Jesus is speaking to his followers, a select group of disciples, probably for the last time. So what's his summing up of his teaching to them? Verse 9, he says, remain in my love. And then verse 12, he says, love each other. So the best way to love God, the first commandment in the Old Testament, when you apply it to the New Testament, the way to do that is to remain in the love of Jesus. And that's what Helen Suarez was speaking to us about last week, last Sunday, when she spoke of abiding in the vine. Stay close to Jesus. Pay attention to your relationship with him. I remember an old evangelist called Bash, a saint who was beginning to suffer from dementia. When he spoke to you, even if he couldn't remember your name, his first question was always, how's your walk with Jesus? How are you with the Lord? Because that, for him, that was what it all boiled down to. That was the important thing. The second Old Testament command that Jesus picked out was to love your neighbor, which meant, of course, anybody in need. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan. But for his group of followers, for the Christians, Jesus said particularly to love each other. We should, of course, love everyone, even our enemies. But especially, Jesus said, our fellow Christians. Why is that? Is that just sort of to be partisan or whatever? No. Jesus goes on to pray in the garden for his disciples. And he prays, what does he pray for? For unity. That we may be one as he and the Father are one. When we disagree, when we argue, when the church divides and splinters, the world points and laughs, and God hurts. But when we reach out across our disagreements When we unite to work together for God, then the world sees the power of love and wants this. When I retire, eventually, it'll be very tempting, I know, to criticize other Christians, to tell the Tays and other churches what they should be doing, to judge others, to wish that they were a bit more like us. But the choice is there to unite across our differences and to demonstrate a life of love to the world. So these two readings that we've had are about becoming a Christian. Peter encouraging the first Gentiles to turn to Christ. And then about living the Christian life, a life of love, Jesus' words to his disciples. Two aspects of how to be a Christian: Christian conversion and a life of love. Amen.